Well, friends, we are in week two of a five-part series on spiritual gifts, where we've been asking the question, what gifts has God given me? How can I use them for the kingdom of God? And there's two primary passages in Scripture that look at spiritual gifts, and we just want to take a look at those now. Maybe even while we're looking at some of these passages, this will be a service where we really need everybody to have an insert from the bulletins. So if you don't have one of those, we'll just wave your hand around. We'll get one of those to you. And a pencil. Because, this is actually my least favorite kind of preaching, by the way. Because for the most part, I'm going to be doing, after we take a look at these passages, I'm going to be doing a bit of an information download, or like I used to think of it in college, like drinking from a fire hose. I'm just going to be shooting a whole lot of information at you. And not all of it, to be quite honest, is going to apply to you. But what I would like you to do is, as we kind of go through a list of some of the spiritual gifts listed in Scripture and some definitions of those lists, for you to be listening and have a pencil out and maybe write down the parts that would be helpful for you to remember. And especially asking yourself the question, which one of these might I have? You know, what gifts might I have, and how can I use them for the kingdom of God? Now, on your inserts, let's see. I should get one of those inserts. Here we go. That would be really good. Okay, usually I get the bulletin. So we've got two sides to this. And in the next 5 weeks, I'm hoping that, there's the first side that we're going to be looking at today, the week two notes. Yeah, this is like going to college again, except for most of your classmates aren't stoned. So it's kind of like that. But on the back side of it is something where once you feel like you have some idea, I would love it if you would, write your name at the top and give us your thoughts. We'd love you to put this in the offering plate. Some of the spiritual gifts I might have are. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the other stuff there. But, fill in what you can. If you're ready to do that and put that into the offering plate. Because among other things, why we're doing this is so that as we have service opportunities, as we have teams for volunteering, that we don't just kind of broadcast it to everybody, because not everybody's called to do everything. So that as a church, we have a better sense of the resources and the gifts that God has given us, so we can be good stewards of that and use that wisely and well. Well, let's take a look at the two primary passages in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to a couple people. No? Each of us? Like everybody? Spiritual gifts are like a Christian belly button. Some are insies, some are outsies, but you've all got one. That's the deal. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the other passage that looks at this. And now we're not going to look at every single one of these gifts today. We're going to be looking at most of the ones that are on the Romans list. And then next week, we're going to be looking at what about the weird gifts? Those of you with charismatic backgrounds, I'm not saying this to offend you, but it's sort of what about the gifts that when you first encounter them, you go, ooh, that's strange. I don't understand this. We're going to take a look at some of that, some of those issues and some of those passages, so stick around. Anyway, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now to a few people, no, to who? Each. So each. Everybody? Each one. Excellent. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for their own self-interest. No. What? See, this is just like class. You get to back talk the teacher. I like that. Okay. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, that he determines them to each, as he determines them to each one, just as he determines. Okay, so we've talked about how, you all right? Okay. A spiritual gift is an expression of faith that aims to strengthen faith. And so we looked at how that the core heart question isn't so much, do I know what my spiritual gift is, but do I care? If you had the opportunity to help someone strengthen his or her faith, would you? Or the question, do I desire to build the faith of others, or am I prone to apathy? Apathy is a fancy word saying, I don't care. And I think the fact of the matter is, for many of us, much of the time, we are just kind of tuned out to the people around us. We just don't care. It's not that we hate them, we just don't care. And so one of the first things as we try to apply those spiritual gifts is to say, Lord, would you soften my heart? Would you make me aware of the people around me? Aware of the needs around me? And show me in some small way how I can make a difference there. If there's an opportunity where I can use something that I have to build somebody else up, help me to do that. One of the reasons we did that little signs exercise as you're coming into church, coming in, you're like, ooh, what's this, like life with post-it notes? Is because, you know, as you're seeing some of the different opportunities, you know, whether it's, you know, if I needed somebody to pray for me, would you? If I needed a mentor, would you? If I needed somebody to listen to me, would you? If I needed somebody to have me over to their home, would you? Is that there are going to be some things that you're more naturally drawn to than others. And oftentimes, that's a good indicator of your spiritual gift. You go, oh God, I could make a difference with that. Anyways, so let's take a look at some of the gifts that are listed. And I'm going to give you the best version of a definition that I know, and also talk about some of the things that can help you to kind of figure out whether or not you've got those gifts. So it can be a little bit like drinking from a hot fire hose. You don't need to listen. You can tune out if you have to, doodle if you have to, but you know, keep those pencils flying and answer the question for yourself, which of these sounds like me? Like the spiritual gift of wisdom that we heard that was listed in 1 Corinthians 12:8, which is insight and understanding about what to do in a particular situation. So are you a person that people seek you out for counsel? Or on the flip side, do you get really frustrated when you see the people you love around you making dumb choices? And you can so clearly see that there's a better way to go. You might have the spiritual gift of wisdom. Or knowledge, which is insight into a particular situation, like we find in 1 Corinthians 12:8. Do you find that God gives particular, unusual insight into situations or people? Like some of the people that... Well, I mean, I'll just be frank. Sometimes this is a gift I think sometimes I have in small measure. There are moments where when I'm praying for somebody, where I'll get a word, like kind of a visual picture in my head of what something that might be going on in their life. A little bit weird. Actually, in our house, we sometimes call it we jokingly call it the Spidey sense. You know, like sort of pastor vision or something. But there's been times, and I'm not meaning to weird anybody out, but you know, you're praying for somebody, you kind of get a word picture, and you go, you might not always be right, but I'll say something like, I don't know if this is true or not, but as I'm praying for you, have you ever been abused? And it just, something just cracks or opens up. You know, where you get a very powerful kind of visual image in your head as you're thinking about somebody, you're praying for somebody. And so you might find that you have situations a little bit like that where you're just in a conversation and you just kind of go, I know this. and I wonder if this is from God. That might be a spiritual gift. You might just have a kind of a spiritually fine-tuned sense of what's going on in a person. You know, you can kind of tell whether they're lying to you or not. You can kind of tell whether they're struggling or not. You just sort of know. That could be a spiritual gift. Pay attention to that. The gift of faith, the ability to trust God in difficult circumstances, like we see in 1 Corinthians. The question, do you find yourself invigorated by the impossible? Those of you who are on the men's breakfast prayer group, you've got a guy in your group where rhymes with Schmon Schmiller. And if you tell him something can't be done, it gets him really excited and wants to make him want to do it, right? Those of you that know Don Miller, you know that that's part of his personality. Don, this is impossible. It can't be done. He'd be like, I'm going to pray then. And it fires him up. That could be the spiritual gift of faith. Are you motivated by new ministries? Have you seen dramatic answers to prayer? Still remember, several years even before, you know, the denomination bought that land, the Field of Dreams. Don was telling me about every time he would drive up and down that hill, he'd just go, something's supposed to happen right here. I'm like, Don, that's a junior high. And that didn't deter him at all. Now, if you've got the spiritual gift of faith, the downside of that is you're going to be really frustrated with some of the people around you that are pragmatic and practical. Because they're going to think of all the reasons they can't do it. And it's just going to cheese you off. You're going to be very upset. Because you're like, come on, guys, don't you trust the Lord? So with all of these spiritual gifts, there's going to be things that it kind of helps with. And often there's going to be frustrations that come along with it because you've been kind of spiritually tuned to particular issues. For the issue of discernment, which I think is a little bit like the gift of knowledge, the ability to perceive whether or not something is from God. Do you find yourself keenly aware of error? Do you have strong initial impressions about people that later prove to be true? I was talking to a woman in our congregation this week where she says that's when she kind of heard that definition, she goes, I think that might be me. Because just gets a strong sense early on if something is right or not. Even before she has all the information. It doesn't mean you're always right. I mean, let's be careful with this. You know, you don't want to use this stuff as a hammer. But you want to be paying attention to what God might be doing in your spirit. You sometimes get just a strong sense of this is the right thing to do. This person is telling the truth. Or this person looks real good, but red flags are going up for me everywhere. If you're somebody like that, not everybody has that. Not everybody can tell, but maybe you can. And so you've got a part in the body of Christ with that. Or apostleship, the gift of church planting or missionary. You know, we find that in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4:11, and we find typos in the bottom part of that. But, you know, there are some people that are just supernaturally gifted to do things like missionary work, whether that's in North America or that's cross-cultural. They're just wired up for it. Now, there's the office of the apostles, which, I mean, there was 12 that Jesus appointed, and, well, they're all dead. But the ministry of apostleship continues on. And for some of you, you might be getting a sense of calling into missionary work or into church planting. I'm very excited for the team getting ready to go to Costa Rica because for some of them, it might be that little taste of cross-cultural mission will light a big fire that leads to apostleship. Next one. Thanks, Rick. Or teaching is the ability to explain God's truth in ways that people can understand. Because, see, teaching isn't just about, you know, seeking knowledge, but it's whether or not people get it when you talk. Because sometimes in church we use really big words, and that doesn't actually help people too much, you know. Or, you know, do you really enjoy Bible study? Do you get really charged up when people get it, when they understand a truth? Some of you have been in David Surratt's small group. This guy has a spiritual gift of teaching. He really loves to teach. And on the frustrating part of it, Do you get frustrated when you see people confused in their understanding of the Bible? A few years back, I was at a church, and there was a pastor preaching about how the Holy Trinity is a little bit like a hostess ding-dong. It's got the gooey core in the center, and that's God the Father, and there's the cake around it, and then that's like the Son, and then the Spirit is like the icing that surrounds it, and it's three in one, and I was just going, gag me. This is not good. Because you've taken a very complex thing and overly simplified it. And if you have a teaching gift and you're naturally wired up as a teacher, you kind of hear that stuff and you just go, it makes you you're going to be churning in your seat. You're probably sitting here right now thinking of all the ways that if you were in my position, you would do it better because you've got the spiritual gift of teaching. And you just can't stand it if people don't get it. Okay. Helps. The ability to joyfully work alongside others in their ministry. We find that in a couple of places, Romans, 1 Corinthians. And now I ask permission for people to use their names in advance. And so there's a guy in our church that just exemplifies, in my mind, the spiritual gift of helps and service. And so I asked him, can I use your name in a sermon? He said, if you really think it would help, but I just hate being put on the spot. This is the guy that volunteers on all sorts of different teams in the church and then makes his wife, who happens to work in the church office, take his name off the recognition list so that no one will send him thank you cards. Dave is that sneaky. And he fixes cars, and he helps with gutters, and he sweeps driveways, and he just, if you need it to be done, he does it. And he hates it when I put him on the spot like this, but he said I could, and I asked him permission in advance. And some of you are wired up just like that. You just want to help, and God bless you. Thank you for being a part of our church. And you probably don't get the recognition you deserve, and most of you don't even care. But if the church didn't have people like you, we would fall apart. We wouldn't get a single thing done. Amen. That's right. So, all right, we'll move on. So, or the gift of administration. Here's a gift we actually kind of need a little bit more of. But it's the ability to organize people and things so God's work can thrive. We see that in 1 Corinthians. Here's the question. Do you enjoy bringing order out of chaos? Do Office Depot and Staples make you feel good on the inside? You go walking in there and you go, folders in different colors. This is wonderful. You've got your label maker as one of the things on your top 10 most important items in my life list. You might have the spiritual gift of administration. You like bringing order out of chaos, and efficiency makes you happy. And we need you. We need you in the church. Now, the downside of it is, you come into a situation that's a little bit disorganized, and it bugs you. Because you can see all the other ways that it could go. And I'm seeing actually people in the congregation that probably have the spiritual gift of administration. Their eyes are lighting up. They're like, yes, you see into my soul. Because it makes me so not just frustrated when things don't go efficiently. You probably have the spiritual gift of administration. And other people around you might not have it. That's why they need you. That's why they need you. That's why we need each other. The spiritual gift of administration, I bring that up because I really think that's one of the growth points for us as a church, where as we get larger, we need to have smart, wise structures that don't just bog us down with activity, but to help us as a church to stay focused and to stay focused on God's work and working well together. So if you have the spiritual gift of administration and you're frustrated, just hang in there, help us, and just keep making noise until it changes stuff, okay? Hang in there. Evangelism. There are people that have the ability to clearly and boldly explain the gospel to non-Christians so they can become Christians. Now, all of us are called to do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to share our faith, but some of you are really good at it. You like hanging out with non-Christians a lot. Church probably even bugs you because you go there and there's nothing but Christians there. So what's the point of even being there? You know, you look for times, you look for opportunities to be with people that are spiritually lost. You enjoy it. Somebody comes up, they've just come back from a concert at the Gorge, and they're like, I believe in UFOs, and that Jesus was like, was a reincarnation of Buddha. You're like, yes, let's talk, let's hang out, let's do coffee. You just can't wait to spend time with them. So, of course, the other, actually back up a little bit. The other thing with evangelism, it can be really frustrated being in overly church situations. We've got a lot of kind of evangelist types here because we're a less churched church. So some of the folks that really love plugging in here, because they love seeing life change, they love seeing people get it. They love seeing people come to Christ. And we're seeing that all the time here on a very regular basis. Evangelists sometimes, too, they can. Part of the frustration is they're so eager to share their faith that they get annoying, and that's okay. They're the ones that are always on you about whatever. They're always, I want to help you change your tire, and do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? They can be really annoying and wonderful, and they're an essential part of the body of Christ because they just cannot help but share their faith. It's just bubbling, brewing out of them. We need them. Okay, the gift of encouragement, the ability to provide encouragement, counsel, and support to someone in suffering, like Romans 12:8. Do people seek you out for encouragement? Do you enjoy walking with people in their pain? I was talking, Facebooking with Mike Rumley Wells, the church. He's actually preaching at Valley Community Church today. He's a guy, I really believe he's got this spiritual gift. If you're going through a tough time, Mike is a great person to talk to. He enjoys it. He kind of gets it's for people that don't have this gift, you might go, you hang out with somebody that's really depressed and hurting and their life's falling apart and you walk away feeling good. Yeah, that's actually kind of how it works. You're sort of wired up to lift people up, to connect with people in their pain, and to help them out. So, if you're the person that people call when they're hurting, you might have that spiritual gift of encouragement. I think my wife has this gift as well, because people are if somebody calls and they're really hurting, they don't say we want to talk to Pastor Andrew. They're like, is Anita available? Because she's just going to listen, and she does such a great job of it. The gift of giving, the ability to give money and other forms of wealth joyfully, wisely, generously. Do you enjoy to give? Do you even look for opportunities to give even when nobody asks you to give? Some of you have that gift. We've got a few people in the church, I'm convinced, have that gift. They're looking for opportunities to bless others financially many times, not always, but many times. This gift goes along with a certain degree of just financial ability. A really close friend of mine lives in Yakima. He's a fruit broker, and God has really, really blessed his business. But this is the guy where, I know there, some of these small orchards, they're really, they're struggling. They go through tough seasons, where he finds ways to give money to them way, way above market value and all this kind of stuff just to help all these farmers survive. He gives, and he gives generously to his church. He was one of the people that was the initial financial supporters to get Columbia Grove started. This guy gives and gives and gives, and God just keeps blessing him. Because from God's perspective and God's desire to bless the world, this guy is a good investment. Does that make sense? This guy, when he gets money, he's gonna spread it around. Now, God's given him a lot of money. That's great. But he spreads it around. He's got the spiritual gift of giving. And some of you have this gift. When you see a way that your check or your whatever you give can really help somebody out, it just feels great on the inside. You've got the spiritual gift of giving. Leadership, the ability to have and communicate clear vision from God and rally people to pursue that vision. Do others express confidence in your ability to lead? Do people look for you, look to you for major decisions in a group? Does it bug you when the group is just kind of wandering around and they can't make a decision and they don't know what to do and we're just so lost and let's just talk about our angst? Does it just, come on people, let's make a choice, let's go. You might have the spiritual gift of leadership. You know, if you're in a chaotic situation, you're doing some sort of a work project and everybody's just kind of standing around staring at their feet. And then you cannot help but just sort of step up and say, okay, people, can we do this? If we all work together, we can get this accomplished today. You might have the spiritual gift of leadership. Pay attention to that. Mercy, the capacity to feel unusual compassion for those who are in suffering. Are you especially drawn to people in need? Do you easily think of ideas to minister to those in suffering? Is your name Chrissy Clay? Does doing things like that bring you joy? And yes, I asked your permission in advance. Some of you are wired up. I mean, all of us are called to acts of mercy and compassion. Some of us are supernaturally tuned to that. And we do it not because we feel bad, but because as we respond to the need, we actually feel good. Isn't that right? Exercising your spiritual gift is one of the greatest sources of peace and joy in your life. That's why I'm asking you to consider where they might be. Okay, let's keep going. So the core question is, what are some gifts that I might have? So maybe you've been looking at that list, and I hope you've been taking a note or two. Are there one or two things or three that you just go, these ones feel a little bit like me? I have this. You know, these are things that bug me, and maybe that's why. These are things that really compel me and drive me forward. Maybe that's why. There's actually a question, right? Was that a question? Okay, never mind. So what are some gifts that you might have? And like I said, by the end of the series, my hope is that, you know, just like on the backside of that insert, you'll be able to say, I think I might have this gift, or, you know, one or two or three or four of these kind of things. These are things that kind of describe me. And here are some of the ways that those gifts are modified and shaped by my interests and my talents and my previous experiences. Because the core question is, will you take what God has given you, things that are inherent in your personality, both from birth and from your new birth, your Christian belly button, so to speak. Will you take what God has given you and will you use it for the glory of God by helping others, by finding your part in the kingdom of God, finding your place in the body? Because we each have a part. Spiritual gifts are not just for one or two people or people that are up front. Spiritual gifts are for everybody because everybody's a minister. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. The question is where and how. Not a question of if. Since we're kind of doing this whole classroomy thing, questions? Do you want to be interactive a little bit? Should we talk? What are ways you've seen spiritual gifts at work in the lives of people around you? You can like tell on other people now. Have you seen other people exercising their spiritual gift? Yeah. What kind of spiritual gifts do you think along with that? It's not necessarily on the list. Hospitality. Absolutely. Yeah, they love making people feel welcome. If Bonnie ever invites you over for a meal, go. I'm just saying this for the sake of your taste buds. You know, Carl has no excuse to not be 600 pounds. This woman can really, really cook. She has the gift of hospitality, and she loves to feed people. She loves to feed people. Absolutely. What do you see? Absolutely. Yeah. Service projects on that scale would not happen. And I mean, Connie and Michelle and Renee, I think they're good examples where they really don't like being up front. I mean, but they have these amazing abilities to see how the pieces can fit together. And so, yeah, we in one day raised $6,500. I mean, hundreds of kids did the loop. All these different businesses, all these different volunteers, they pulled it all together because they're gifted. They're gifted. And we need people like that. What do you see, Bradley? What gifts do you see at play there? Uh-huh. The spiritual gift of encouragement. That's right. If you ain't happy, Linda ain't done with you yet, right? Exactly. Spiritual gift of encouragement. Gene, I saw your hand up. Music? Yeah. And that's right. I believe there's spiritual gifts of worship. You know, like last week, I talked a little bit about how, I remember the first time I heard Jasmine Skank sing. Because you just go, oh, she's a nice musician. And then she starts leading worship and you're like, whoa. I mean, just she's just sitting in the living room with a guitar and you're like, I'm in church right now. Spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. And just so grateful for people that that use not just good musicality, but musicality that points people to the Lord. Faith, strengthening faith. What else do you see? Yes. Caregiving and the spiritual gift of giving. I mean, people that are just very generous with their lives. I haven't asked them about it specifically, but my hunch is they do it because they actually, it brings a sense of joy to come alongside and genuinely help people. Yeah. So Kathy does it out of a sense of joy, usually out of a sense of fear. That's good. That's, yeah. A.G. Mackenzie, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about that young woman because I see a spiritual gift of leadership in her. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. These are all great examples of how the gifts work together in the body of Christ to strengthen others, to build up faith. God's given each one of us a part to play in things. So do consider what your gifts might be. Or another good way to figure it out is ask the person next to you. Because some of you are you've been beat down by all that, you shouldn't feel too good about yourself, or you're not really Christian, you're not really holy unless you feel really lousy. Which isn't spiritually true. I mean, the Bible says to make sober assessment of yourself, not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, but that also means not thinking of yourself more lowly than you ought. I mean, some of you, say, you think it's really, some fine spiritual attribute to say, I have no spiritual gifts, except for humility. That's just baloney. You have gifts. You have things to offer. You might not even know the name of them yet, and that's okay. That's okay if you don't know the name of it. But to just know on a core level, you have something to offer others. You have something that can spiritually encourage and strengthen somebody else. God puts you on the planet to use that gift, to be that. Like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're not saved by our good works, But God's delight is to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. You're God's workmanship. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks so much for this time of study around these issues of gifts. And Lord, I pray that you would just open up our eyes as a congregation, not just to the big gifts and the super visible ones, but Lord, would you specially tune us to those gifts that sometimes it seems like they live just below the surface. They're not flashy. Those gifts of encouragement and service and help and mercy. You know, those gifts where each one of us, as we play our part, moves the kingdom of God forward, builds people up, that helps others to experience and express the love of God in their lives. So, Lord, as we enter into this series and as we consider what this means for us as a body, would you just lead us and guide us and keep our eyes open to your work in our midst? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.